Father, in the name of Jesus, to thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the Spirit of God that you've richly given to us through the works of redemption. This day, Father, as we continue to discuss and learn about giving, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, my listeners, that the permission of your word will bring light and understanding into their soul and heart. May they walk in this light, in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God, what a wonderful way of just learning about giving. It's been quite a journey, and I want us to put a pause on the first fruit and go and start still in line with giving, but start on why should I support my local church materially. And the book of Acts chapter 2 verse 42, scripture says, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking bread and in prayers. And the fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were given by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and all things in common. And sold their possession and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had needed. Acts chapter 4, verse 32, or verse 30 all the way to 37, speaks also of the same. Neither was any among them that lacked. And when you go to the book of Acts, chapter 11, Luke is recording about the believers at Antioch who sent relief to the believers in the church of Jerusalem. I'm saying this because when you look at the believers from the inception of Acts, chapter 2, you find that they were taught, they were instructed by the apostles to meet the needs of others. And that is why Luke, who is the author of the book of Acts, records several instances where believers gave generously or without holding back to meet the needs of other believers. And this continues through the book of Acts. Look at Acts chapter 20, verse 35. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. When he's explaining this, when he's talking about the weak, is actually expounding that if you read verse 34, you yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities, and to them that were with me. So when you look at that in context, it refers to believers who have needs. It is not the weak in terms of flesh or sick, no. Those who had needs among us, the believers. So this shows you that by laboring to support the weak, believers have to show generosity. So we labor, but we also support. Paul says, with my hands I've labored and supported the weak. These hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were weak. So it shows that he both did double way. He ministered to himself and also gave to other believers. So in the book of Acts, believers gave generously and liberally to the distribution of the saints. In essence, the believers were taught and saw the meeting or met the needs of fellow believers as their sole responsibility. It was a part of their responsibility. They did not withhold back. They gave generously. They made sure everyone is met. The need of each and every person in their midst is met. And you find throughout Paul, the apostles are doing this and practicing this. When you find this practice in the book of Acts, it was not a means of prosperity. It was an act of generosity. So they were not giving to get rich. They were giving to meet the needs of fellow believers. Now, let's examine how the believers are being taught. Further in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 41, and they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added to the unto them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking bread and in prayers. It is good to know that they continued, those who believe the gospel, they continued. So when it comes to verse 42, they continued in fellowship. So Luke is using these words intentionally. When he's saying fellowship, Paul's communication to the Philemon church, 1 verse 6 says, may the communication of your faith become effective or effectual by acknowledgement of every good thing that is in Christ Jesus. And John is also talking of the same. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So the emphasis of fellowship is with the Father. And this fellowship with the Father now becomes fellowship with believers amongst themselves. So they are having fellowship with the Father and fellowship with the Son, in that this fellowship was to make what they had, or what they had known, the knowledge, the word study, come as part of their daily lives. When you look at the traditional way of the Jews, the culture, the synagogues, they used to meet in Sabbath, and it was like what we call social halls, but their intention was to study scripture. So fellowship is not something that was new. It was a culture that was there. They used to fellowship in different synagogues or places of study where they learned the word. So when they got born again after hearing the gospel, that is what they continued. It says they continued daily in fellowship. So they were used to gathering. Synagogue means just gathering. Still, leave alone the building. It's a gathering. It's a place of fellowship for the Jews. So these people continue to fellowship. So Paul's indication here, or the apostles, when Luke is writing this in the book of Acts, they continue Stephen in apostles' doctrine. Doctrine is content, the teachings, what was taught, and teaching in prayer, in breaking of bread, in fellowship. So it was a continuous, it was a practice that they gave themselves daily to inquire, to learn of this. And that was happening in the first inception of the church. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16 to 18. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now we know him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Paul is explaining that what God has done for us in Christ, in verse 16 and 17, and then now he's describing that Christ gave us the ministry of what he has done for us. So God was in Christ, he reconciled us to himself, and now he has mandated us, has given us the responsibility to go and do share the message of reconciliation. That is the gospel. Hence, the preaching of the gospel is a message that centers around our fellowship with the Father, because we are giving to men what we have received from God. And that is what Jesus did. Jesus says, I do not do anything unless I see what I do. I do not do anything. I only do what I see my Father do. Pardon me. John 5:30. So it was an intentional mandate that God gave us through Christ Jesus. The preaching of the gospel, which is the invitation of men to receive that fellowship with the Father, is not about our experience, but about the gift that has been available. How God was in Christ reconciling man to himself. Now he has given us the message of reconciliation. So Paul regards believers in this letter of Corinth as able ministers of the gospel. In 2 Corinthians 3:16, who has also made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the latter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life. I know this is a scripture most of the time we use out of context, but we forget that it is what the context there is, the ability we've been given to be messengers of the New Testament, of the message. And this message is not of the letter, but of the Spirit. How is it of the Spirit? We are born of the Spirit. Who is born of the Spirit is Spirit. So what is the testament? Is the new reality that is in Christ Jesus, that God, who was in Christ, has reconciled us to himself. We've been born again. So we are going around telling people of the same message, that God is not against you. God does not hate you. God has to be born again. So in this fellowship, what we make available is what has been made available for us. That is through the message. Hence the reason why Paul says, the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that is new in Christ Jesus. And his prayer is pointing us to something that will action, or we need to action, pointing us to what has been accomplished. The effectiveness of our faith, or the communication of our faith, is effective by the acknowledgement of what God has done through Christ Jesus. That is how we have been made able ministers. Able ministers. So the prayer is knowledge based. And Paul explained that this knowledge will cause the believer to walk in the reality of who is in Christ. Paul said to the church of Ephesians, is praying that they may receive knowledge. So when you look at all this, his intention, Paul, was for the believers to get knowledge. And I believe that is what we want to learn and grasp about the knowledge of Jesus, that we may be filled with the fruit of righteousness which are in Christ Jesus unto the glory, that we may be filled with love, we may be filled with knowledge. And this is what he writes to the church in Philippi, Colossae, Thessalonica, all these churches, he's writing that. So in Philemon 1:6, that the communication of your faith may be effective by, or effectual by, the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you, Christ Jesus. Paul was actually, his audience was, and was concerning Onesimus to Philemon. He wrote to concerning Onesimus to Philemon, and Onesimus had fallen out with Philemon, but Paul, who is about to give Philemon an instruction, goes ahead to pray for him. Look at that. Communication implies contribution or relay of information. So Philemon 1:6 can be read like, may the contribution of your faith, or the availability of your faith, be effective, be a continuous thing by the exact knowledge. May the communication of your faith become effectual by the acknowledging there is exact knowledge, by the exact knowledge, or a precise knowledge of the good things that are in you in Christ Jesus. And this is what makes the contribution effective. The contribution of Onesimus' faith will be ineffective when he's not communicating or contributing with exact knowledge. Because what makes the contribution effective is the precise or accurate knowledge, and that should be consistent and very clear to everyone who is listening. So the fellowship of the Father is a contribution that is ceaseless, or it's a contribution that is constant and never fades. Our fellowship with one another is dependent on how we appreciate the realities which are the every good thing that are in us in Christ Jesus. So we must regard and place much value on our gathering, because our fellowship with fellow believers is a supernatural fellowship. May the communication of your faith be effected by the acknowledgement of every. So Onesimus was to communicate contribute exact, precise knowledge of the good things that are in Christ to the church. And that is now the message. Romans 12:5. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every members one of another. And you look at Ephesians chapter 4, you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So when you talk about fellowship, it's the gathering of the brethren together. It's the gathering of the brethren together. And the apostles taught believers, and subsequently, they saw themselves having common things because of what? It is a family. It is a family. And that family is very important. I know you're asking now, how does it got to do with giving? I want to show you how important it is that it is in this family that we build one another. It is in this family that we understand and grow in knowledge. It is in this family that we get to know many things about the love of God. It is in this family, Hebrews 10:24. He says, do not forsake the gathering of brethren, for in them you provoke one another unto good works. So it is important to know that giving yourself effective communication, effective fellowship in a fellowship, effective communication in a fellowship is paramount for us to effectively function. And when you look at this, they continue daily in the apostles' doctrine. So it shows you that the apostles' doctrine in Acts chapter 2 intentionally taught about giving. For them to wake up, and the writer says they sold their possession. Look right in Acts chapter 2. He writes in Acts chapter 4. He writes in Acts chapter 5, where Ananias and Sapphira. The act of the doctrine, the teaching of the doctrine, was so heavy on giving to meet the needs of every believer. And one of the needs that we have, you know, the gospel, this, and we'll expound on this further as we continue. The gospel is free, but where people gather for the places to be taught is not free. So it is paramount for us to be responsible in what? In meeting the needs of the church. What are the needs of the fellowship? They need to pay bills, they need to do things to do. That is why in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 14, and by their prayer for you, which long after you have exceeding grace of God in you. This was the grace that he was talking to them about giving. And Paul instructed the church at Corinth, we have the responsibility as believers to bound in that grace, ability resident in us. That grace, what is that grace? That you may give. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, that you may give. For to their power, verse 3, I bear record, yeah, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. They gave beyond their ability. So we don't give because we feel like it is there, or when we have excess. No. The giving in this church was sacrificial beyond their ability. There's an effective communication, the exact knowledge of the precise knowledge of the good things that the love of God has been poured in our hearts. The love of God tells us to behave or act as God. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Is it chapter 4? Chapter 5, verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Followers, mimic, imitate God. How am I imitating God? God is a giver, for God so loved the world. All that he gave, his only begotten son. At times it's the only thing that you have, but because of the love of God oozing in your heart, you give generously. Why? The effective, may the communication of your faith be effective. So in effectiveness of that faith communication bars us from enjoying the good thing that are in us in Christ Jesus. So that exact knowledge that this love of God is not fleecing me, I'm not giving, I will lack, no, I am giving because the love of God has shown me that giving is my character. Giving is a part of me. I no longer struggle because that is who my Father is. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the study. Thank you, Lord, for the fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen.